Everything's properly disinfected. Time to start the day. How you doing, everybody? Welcome to the show. We're off and rolling here. It is a faux Friday, Thursday morning edition of Sports Radio, TSN 1200. Glad you're along for this second day of April 2020. Gang's all here. JR, Simmer, and Hammer with you, and you're waking up too. It's going to be actually a lot like yesterday. Sunny start, little clouds as the day rolls on. 9 will be the high. We're at -1 right now. And with that, we say good morning to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
Not too bad. Interesting, guys. If you listen to that news clip, my buddy Darren Campbell was featured yesterday on the news. And I think for a lot of people locally, how small Ottawa is kind of hit home. There was a 43-year-old fit guy, father of two, that you wouldn't have the expectation, and almost ended up taking his life. So that was an interesting story yesterday. Some clicks by there. A great job by CTV covering it. But for me, that was, I don't want to say hit for reality for myself, but that put very much a face on that, hey, anybody right now is susceptible to this awful disease.
Yeah, now he was vacationing in the Dominican, correct?
He was. Now, yeah, exactly. And got sick when he was down in Dominican. Was down there with another buddy, Brian Mason, family. So they came back, and thank God he got back. But yeah, went right into the hospital and not feeling great. And I was texting with him when he just got out, just saying, hey, what is it feeling like? What was the whole process? And obviously the process was scary. And his analogy that, again, really hit home because I know him, he's a fit guy. And he said, basically, right now, and it could improve, it feels like he's breathing out of a straw. You know, that was kind of, you know, and there's, again, a guy that before this was fine and good to go. And so shout out to all the nurses and doctors and everybody that took care of him. But a great young family. Nice to see that he's out and doing a whole lot better.
Yeah, exactly. Gord Wilson, of course, being another one that we all know, and I'm sure for everybody now, if you don't know someone who has gone through this, in all probability at some point, given the fact that the cases seem to be increasing every day, you probably will, but fingers crossed. Yeah. I always sit here and I look at the traffic cameras and watch, and there's not a heck of a lot of traffic out there, but there's still people going places, and I always think, yeah, those cars probably full of healthcare workers. Yeah, people going to hospital, sure, you know, all kinds of essential workers. Shouldn't say, you know, and they deserve a special shout out, but anybody that's working on the front lines of anything to keep everything going, we always want to stop and just be thankful for everybody. I know I am, because today, it's the weekly trip to the grocery store. Okay, I'm on tap. I'm the grocery store guy. Now, I never used to. My wife always did the groceries, but we're trying to kind of keep it to, you know, they say keep the same person going out. And
us too.
Since I'm coming to work, I'm the guy that's going to the grocery store. So we spent yesterday afternoon going through a list, and I'm like, you know, I'm not a great cook. Okay, I like to barbecue. That's where it begins and ends. When we get into the nuances of, like, extras, I'm a bit of a neophyte. Like, I couldn't tell you what coriander looks like. But my wife, pick up some coriander. And I'm like,
just the herbs. I know. Fresh coriander, dried, doesn't matter, whatever's there.
I know that, but I don't know. There's a bunch of green things that all sort of look the same. Yeah. And I don't want to be touching the wrong stuff. And sometimes it's not underneath where the sign is. And you can't, it's not like you can turn to the lady right next to you and go, which one is the coriander? Because everybody's 6 feet apart.
You brought parsley home. There's no doubt in my mind you have brought home some dried parsley.
Well, I haven't bought it before, so we'll find out. But
I could not agree more. If you gave me the choice between poison ivy and parsley, chances are I may bring home the poison ivy. And Mira, being of Syrian descent, is all in the spices and everything else. I'm fine. I have some difficulty finding that multi-pack of the salt and pepper that I'm able to bring home, because you always run out of pepper, but you probably have 10 things of salt in your thing. I agree with you. I'll eat food all the time, and I'll just be like, I've got to identify, and this goes back to my love of the food shows, where I have no clue on half of the taste. I'm good garlic guy, which I think most guys are. You understand the flavor of garlic. Anything else, it's like, where did this come from? Where do I get it? How do I find it? And I will say this, and I've been to the grocery store both in Riverside South and, of course, in old South Rockcliffe, somewhat therapeutic, got to be honest with you. It's gotten a little more intense. I was there a couple of days ago, but on the weekend, just going through and being able to grab some nice fresh food and bring some things home, I've actually enjoyed that and very thankful to that, to the people that are picking up the garbage, to all the infrastructure that, as you said, are essentials, along with the healthcare, which is obviously the top dog right now, all the things that keep a city rolling that, you know, that we don't necessarily notice on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
Very thankful for that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I don't even know. I got these green bins that I'm, you know, can you bring them in? Because at one point, right, you couldn't bring in your own bags. But I don't know if that counts the big plastic bins, because we've got some of those as well.
Okay,
so
yeah,
I have no idea.
Yeah, when I was there the other day, they were asking people no bags, and I don't think they said leave them at the door necessarily. But everybody in there, they've got the shields up. Obviously, you end up packing it yourself. But as far as a bin, yeah, I don't know why there would be any issue. But I think every protocol is a little bit different depending on location. And I guess I'm more, for whatever reason, logistically, I'm a Loblaws guy. So
yeah. Well, we're running out of kind of a couple of things, so it's like, okay, it's time to go. But I think I went last Thursday, if I remember correctly, and I was like, it was pretty stocked up.
Yeah,
because I had the last time I'd been before, it was, you know, some of the stuff, like I've been saying, I don't know the last time I saw toilet paper.
Yeah,
managed to get one at another place just by stopping by, so I'm good.
Yeah,
but some of the stuff like the cleansers, anything like that, all that stuff's been sold out for weeks.
I have not seen a Lysol spray or a Lysol wipe in 2 weeks. Those shelves have just been cleaned out, no pun intended.
My wife is now accusing me of being because I'm like,
you're
okay.
You're not really going in, are you, honey?
No, it's the Lysol. It's the Lysol wipes. Do we really need to? I'm starting to hoard them a little bit because the can is starting to get a little bit low, and we like to, you know, kind of wipe down the common surfaces and everything. And it's like, so now we've got this other thing. We do this mixture with water or whatever, and so it's a daily dance.
Yeah, and the extent of it right now, guys, there's no doubt, but do you not also feel for some of the things you read or you see on TV, they talk about, hey, on the other side of this, we'll get back to normal, but what will the new normal be? I've got to think people's perception on washing their hands and doing this on a daily basis is going to change, right? Like not maybe to the extreme, but where we see wipes and we see Lysol and we see hand sanitizers. Now, we've also seen that the last 10 years, but I've got to think that's probably a habit and an industry that's probably going to see a whole lot of business going forward.
Yeah. Well, I was happy to hear when I last time I talked to my investment guy. And I said, okay, so how bad is it? Oh, he goes, oh, it's not, you know, it's, listen, there's no kidding ourselves here. It's not very good. But the good news, you got to stocks and Lysol. So it's, hey, excellent, good.
Let's
good.
Keep that there. Let's not move that. Not looking to sell at the moment.
You know, though, if you get invited to, like, the board of directors meeting, that's when you know that you have enough investment to make it actually. When people throw out, I've got some money in Coca-Cola. Yeah, yeah. Hey, so does the rest of the planet. But, yeah. Hey, as long as you're making some dough, we're good to go.
There we go. All right. All right, 6:11. Let's take a break. We have much to discuss. As always, got a good guest list as well. Pierre McGuire, of course, will join us after 8 o'clock. We'll get caught up on all the hockey stuff, wherever that takes us. And again, we always welcome your questions for Pierre in this time in which we've got no games to talk about. Text us is the easiest way at 12-1200. Standard messaging rates apply. But after 9 o'clock, looking forward to a conversation with an Ottawa folk hero by the name of Andrew Hammond, the Hamburglar. Because tonight, our best 10 of the last 10, the top 10 Sens games of the last decade, will take us through a trio of games from the Hamburglar run back in 2015. The first game that we're going to play tonight, we'll get into it as the morning rolls on, but the first game we're playing for tonight would not be a game normally I would have thought of, but that the Hamburglar himself, as he weighed in on social media last week when we were talking about this, he goes, that's really the game in which I started thinking about what a special run this is starting to be. So anyway, we'll get into all of that. Looking forward to Andrew Hammond joining us on the show. We'll get into the news of the day, that and much more as we roll on here. It is a Thursday morning. You are listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
All right, 6:21. TSN mornings continue. Steve Lloyd sitting in for JR all week long. Sean Simpson still here. Matthew Hamer still here. I'm sticking with it. Little Red still here.
Yeah.
Until you improve, you're Little Red. You have to earn Big Red from me.
Yeah, and as we sit at 6:21, that'll be the last time you make references to us other than Simmer, Hammer, and Lloydie, okay? Let's go with that the rest of the week here.
Because
nobody has any idea who Matt Hamer is.
I'm going with the government.
He's the Hammer. Hey?
Government for the first hour.
Okay.
Yes.
It's full names. Let's go to middle names as well.
It's too formal. Hey? You're making me feel very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Hammer and I, well, we were roommates 20 years ago, so we've called each other worse.
Yeah.
Not quite the odd couple at all either. We were good roomies.
Oh, I think you guys would be actually. Who else was part? Was that basically what? Would he have been starting out? Was it Hops around at the time?
Oh, no. He had moved to Ottawa at that point. Oh,
okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
No, this is.
When this would have been Hammer? 2000. This
99 into 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a great spot, Simmer. Yeah. Overlooking the Ottawa River. Huge place.
Oh,
got
I
a
bet.
Great deal.
Hey, Rockcliffe?
Oh, yeah.
South Rockcliffe
no,
or
no,
north?
No, just near Lincoln Fields.
Hey.
Oh,
two parking spots,
two
indoor.
Underground. We got heated. One. It was $890 bucks all in. Two underground heated parking spots with a balcony overlooking the Ottawa River.
Stevie had this beauty stang.
Oh.
I had this crap box.
Oh, man. Got the stang.
What tempo.
Because I got, rear end.
Yeah, a lot of Bondo on the tempo, eh? And those things, they were made of plastic, and then they had more plastic to keep them together.
Hey, I learned on it. My mom had a tempo. That was the car I learned on.
Oh, that
tempo
was funny.
Tempo, rear insanity.
Everybody, Mike Glover, we grew up learning to drive the stick on a Vette, and that was pretty cool at the age. Unfortunately,
what
was a Chevette.
Okay.
So.
Oh, you know what? I fall for that every bloody time. Jesus.
The old Chevette.
What?
But brutal. He does.
There was some. We made some.
He's like pulling quarters behind your ear.
No, I don't.
Over and over again.
We were. You know what? We're critical of the fine automobile, the Lada, coming out of Russia.
Oh yeah.
Some of the movies you see, or even go back to the videos. Some of the original videos. Much Music. Who was it? One of the. They're doing a video in Toronto. We had a nasty line of automobiles in the early 80s, in Canada.
My brother had one of those.
You go back to some of those
K cars.
Anything with that diamond star on the front of it. Yeah. Like, they were just, nothing going. They were nasty bunch.
The K car and the Reliant were the same vehicle.
Yeah, yeah.
Just slightly different brands, both Chryslers.
Yeah. Nasty. Yeah, when you look at some of that old stuff, you think, well, I don't think we should be too critical here. It didn't get overly creative until the Japanese and Germans came in.
This is the start of a rabbit hole if we engage.
Yeah.
Right? You know that.
Because I can add on with my Fiesta that I used to have that you can unlock the door with a butter knife.
Yeah.
Now, you couldn't start it with a butter knife, but you could unlock any door you wanted to with the butter knife. I learned that. I don't know how I learned that.
Yeah.
It was a panic mode when I locked my keys in the car.
Could you start the car with a butter knife?
No, you could not.
There were a lot of those cars there. You could do the old coat hanger, too, right? Or if you were in possession of the one thing that went down the window, you had to be careful if you got pulled over. Because they probably thought you were doing a little Grand Theft Auto. Remember a little piece?
Oh, the Jimmy stick.
Yeah, little Jimmy stick. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it wasn't good to have that in possession should you get pulled over by the local enforcement. Hey, what do you got that bad boy for?
But when they see you trying to Jimmy a Festiva, they pretty much know that you own the car.
That's you.
That's a great point.
Not too many people
probably
trying to steal
that. Yeah, we're not going to get too worried about that one.
They slow down like, no, let's keep going.
They can catch you if they're running. Hey, that's how they're not even worrying about being in their vehicle.
All right, I'll bite. What Hammer? What was your first car? Not your parents' car. My car that you owned.
Dodge Colt.
What
this
year was
little silver bullet? 1987.
87 Dodge
Standard,
Colt.
Standard. Nice. Loved it. Beauty lasted. Got maybe 18 months out of her before the engine blew.
Okay.
It developed an oil leak pretty early, and if you weren't really quick on keeping that oil pan filled up, you were in big trouble.
Yeah.
Edsel for you?
You know what?
Here comes the Jeep YJ.
I lived a little bit of a reverse lifestyle. I peaked really early. I went from a Jeep to multiple BMWs to Mercedes to divorce to no vehicle whatsoever. So I'm like Benjamin Button in my vehicle. Eh? I'm going in reverse order on the way. It was all downhill
and
from
now
there.
Now it's LRT.
Oh, I had. Well, no, I don't even do that. No. Now it's just Lyft or Uber. Hey, whoever wants to drive me. No, that was completely different. Had that old Jeep YJ, had the incredible sound system. Like you said, you knew from there that, it was going to be. What were you going with? What do you have?
81 Cutlass Brougham.
Nice.
And had an 8-track, and I remember the old Stittsville flea market when it was still good?
Yeah.
The big Stittsville flea.
Well, that was the only reason you went there.
Exactly.
That was the only reason Stittsville existed.
Exactly.
Right?
So I went there.
You get some fine leather jackets there, too.
Some sweet leather. I got an old amp with an 8-track in it.
No
right?
way.
Bought it for $9, and it had some auxiliary jacks, so I was able to record my CDs onto old 8-tracks. And so people would get in my car, and I'd throw an 8-track in, and they're like, what the?
Hey?
And then I'd have Pearl Jam on it or something. And they're like, what's going on? I said, it's magic. It's absolutely magic. The ceiling on the thing, the felt ceiling on those cars, the interior.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to take the staple gun
and
keep that thing off my head.
They had some incredible.
It had no shocks. I took that back and forth to the Thunder Bay. I was going to school there.
No way.
From Carlton Place a bunch of times. I can't believe we made it.
Oh, and I think back to the stains on some of the roofs of those cars.
Oh, yeah.
You kind of wonder.
Get there? It's true. The color was gone off the roof and the hood. It was that white kind of.
No, but what is that? Now did it get on my roof?
It's like a pigeon just every day. Is constantly doing his business
about,
on your roof.
No, I'm talking about the roof of the interior.
Yeah, inside.
Oh, inside.
Inside.
Oh,
that was.
Well, then there was that yellow foam stuff on the. Yeah, that would.
Must be from the popcorn of the drive-in. Right?
Sure.
The
that's butter. It, Simmer. That's right.
That's funny because my buddy, again, Mike Glover, always had the vehicles. His dad owned the Texaco on Walkley. He had the old Cordoba. And oh man, was that. It was just a monster of a vehicle, big old piece of steel. And I'll never forget that. We're out in the East End on a Friday night, about 10 p.m., only one pop each, didn't have many. And we decided, you know what, why don't we go up to the Sioux? This is in the middle of the summertime. Of course, we're both playing there. He says, yeah, come on, let's go. And I'm like, okay, why not? I decided, you know what, I'm going to climb into the backseat and have a little snooze. I woke up at 7 a.m. There we are cruising into the outer proper of Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Had made the drive in the big Cordoba all the way up to the Sioux. 9 hours. And we arrive in on the Saturday morning for the weekend. So good times.
I coasted into the Sioux in the Cutlass one time.
And you're going to Thunder Bay.
I was coming from Thunder Bay.
Yeah.
And everything was closed. The gas station we thought we were going to hit.
No way.
Oh, no. You get past Wawa. It's like,
oh.
Are we going to make it?
Yeah.
And we just coasted into the Sioux.
What was the ride from Thunder Bay to the Sioux?
Oh, I'm just trying to think. You could do it about 10 from here to the Sioux. And then, it depends on how fast you're going.
No,
Simmer.
But yeah.
I can't.
Is that one of the loneliest rides on the planet?
It is.
From the Sioux to Thunder Bay, I mean.
Sometimes I take the northern route and you go up, keep heading north and you go basically left at Cochrane and take 11 and go across the top. And the thing is, coming either way.
Sioux Outlook?
People know this. Right? No, Sioux Lookout's the other side.
Oh, okay.
You better fill up, even if you don't need gas, in Hearst, going the one way, or if you're in Long Lac the other way, because there's a whole lot of nothing.
Oh, yeah.
One time the road washed out, I'd take another road down to 17, went through Horn Pain.
Nice.
That's where Goldie's from.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Goldie Goldthorpe?
Horn Pain, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Good old Wawa. My old buddy Chris Simon is from there as well.
Denny Lambert.
Yeah, Denny. Denny and Chris were in my high school class in Sault Ste. Marie. Both had come down to play midget hockey before going on to play in the Ontario Hockey League.
I was kidding. Was Denny wearing the rug then?
Did he have the,
Yorkie would always throw him under the bus.
Really?
He'd wear it during, when he was in the NHL, he would wear it during the games under the helmet.
Oh, really?
A couple times.
Oh, I didn't
And he
know
got
that.
Into a fight.
Oh, no
and
way.
It, and it came off.
Oh, I did not. Really?
So, anyways.
Yeah. There was a point there where I think the entire Minnesota North Stars team had them. I don't know if there was a discount. Hey? Hey, the whole team. It's like, is this a 5-for-1 or something? Hey? Or that's where the wives actually tell you they look real? Hey?
Hey? Told you we'd have some fun this morning, guys. Hey, okay. We'll keep you up to date on the bigger picture stuff. And here we are at 6:30 off the rails. Back in a moment on TSN Mornings on TSN 1200.
AR Simmer and Hammer with you. A couple of quick texts at 12-1200. AJ writes, we were supposed to be talking about the draft lottery, and here we are talking about coriander and cilantro. I've done $130 in grocery shopping on Tuesday. I know what it feels like to do the shopping. Usually, I'm thinking about the draft lottery anyway. Hold the bananas, dreaming about Byfield and Lafreniere. That comes from AJ.
Right, now, what was it supposed to be? Was it supposed to be the, second week of April?
April 9th,
April 9th,
right?
Yeah.
Week from today? There we go.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? And that has been, I think, part of the speculation or people being nervous of how this is going to play out. I guess some fear on the Sens fans, because I don't think there's going to be the straight draft lottery like 04-05. But I guess if you have to play out the season, the slotting right now is as good as it's going to get from a Sens and San Jose perspective. So I guess some things to think about. But at the end of the day, probably both picks are going to be excellent.
Brian writes, J.R. Simmer, the only safe sport right now is making maple syrup. Nothing survives past 220 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, man.
That comes from Brian, to which I responded to Brian via the text. And thanks, Brian. Yeah, but how fun is it to watch?
Yeah.
After the show yesterday was TSN had its most obscure sports for April Fool's Day, right?
Yeah.
What was it? Ocho.
Ocho. Yeah. It's from Dodgeball, but yeah. ESPN, the Ocho. That's what it is.
The Ocho. Yeah. So they had all these various. So we sat down after the show, and again, I actually watched the marble racing yesterday afternoon for about 10 minutes or so, which
was
kind
of.
What was the thing yesterday? Spikeball?
Spikeball.
Okay,
yeah.
so Hammer's trying to sell us on Spikeball. Like, this is something that's really good. And literally, Simmer, we sat down and watched for it for 5 minutes, and there wasn't one rally.
It was pretty poor.
They're trying to serve it into this little net thing that's on the. I have no idea what the rules are, how it works, or if it's fun or interesting to play.
No.
That was the worst 5 minutes of any sport I've ever watched ever. So, Brian, I'm in to come and watch you make maple syrup. That looked like it'd be more interesting.
Yeah, I ended up finished a strong night of TV, did a little Ozark action, but I was able to catch the final of the cornhole. And boy, I've got to admit some of the technique there and what was going on, but part of you just didn't know whether to burst out laughing. You know, this takes us all back to watching dodgeball, right? Where, you know, are these guys serious? They've got uniforms on, people are cheering. Sam Darnold was even there. You're switching around and looking at it and laughing and realizing, you know what, that's kind of the combination right now, but some highly skilled cornholers though, I got to admit. These guys know how to hold their corn or however you want to say it.
Yes. For those that don't know, maybe you could explain the fine sport of cornholing.
Well, I guess any of us grew it up. It's just basically tossing the beanbag.
Beanbag toss, right?
Okay. Right? Is there any really variation?
Then why are they calling it that? Why don't they just call it beanbag toss?
I want to say, and I listen,
this is
I could
a Southern U.S. thing.
Yeah, I could be talking out of my backside, which I tend to do quite a bit of, and somebody might catch me on this, but I would think that sort of what we would call beanbag toss, which is a kind of a basket set into a piece of wood, right, that lays flat, and you try to throw the beanbag into it, that the original thing would have been some sort of corn shucking thing, right?
The basket? I agree. Or probably you're a farmer and you live in a cornfield, so now we're just going to take a break here, drink some moonshine, and we're going to call it cornhole. What is interesting about these professional cornholers is their ability to throw their beanbag, and it kind of hits off the platform and slides in, but then all of a sudden you've got a pile up here. Like, dude, this is like a pile up of five around the hole. And yesterday, this guy, the term I think is he going to go airborne? So instead of doing that, so now he's just dropping it in.
Yep.
And if he didn't just drop one in and drop two more of his that were basically in the car crash near the hole, that was an excellent technique, as I think they were on their way to the championship.
Wow, that's solid. So he had two piled up as kind of blockers. Well, hit those and knocked, and all three went in.
Well,
excellent cornhole.
No, it was a five cornhole. Cornhole pileup. And so basically you had three of the opposition, two of yours, and he came in. And what I guess adds to it is that because the guy's doing the color, all I can think is Jason Bateman doing dodgeball, right? So I'm trying to figure out if this guy's actually serious as he's breaking it down, and they've got the crowds, they've got sponsors, and they're having some fun.
Well, I was trying to find, you know, yesterday the spike ball we're watching, it was college athletic spike ball, and there was people there watching.
Like, they're all paid to be there.
Yeah.
They're all buddies.
Are they?
It's a frat. There's no doubt in my mind.
All right.
Cornhole, all right? They used to fill the bags up with corn.
Oh,
pretty self-explanatory.
That makes sense.
Bags of corn.
Keep it away from the microwave. Keep it away from the microwave.
Cornhole. Now, you call them professional. Are they getting paid, Simmer?
Well, they better be. They
if
better
it's on
be.
TV, if it's making money, somebody's getting some money.
And they've got a shirt on that looks like a European hockey team. They got more sponsors.
Who's sponsoring cornhole?
Well, I don't know. As I said, hey, when you look at what darts has done and how incredibly whoever came up with the marketing of that, and is most of that generated out of the UK, I assume?
Yes.
Like
180?
But how they decided with those crowds to turn it into a TV event, it makes you feel like you're missing out on something, right? And the fact you add a crowd to any of these things at least has a bit of a feel that, wow, I guess somebody must like this, so I might as well hang around and watch it for
Are you adding a crowd or are you adding liquor? Right, with the darts, you're adding the liquor.
Well, liquor.
For the participants or for the fans?
Yeah, I was going to say, even the athletes are drinking while they're doing. That's what makes it such a great sport.
For sure.
Yeah. BLR texts in, good morning, boys. When we get back to sports, do you think golf courses would be permitted before other contact sports. The physical contact is minimal. You can even reduce the contact to pay and play by paying online and then spacing out the tee times. Or do you think the government will hold off on all sports until we get the green light? That's from a BLR. I can tell you, BLR, that all golf courses right now are closed and will be. They're all part of this, this emergency measures part. Now, when they start to, if and when we get to a place, not if, when we get to a place to the other side, as we say, and they start to lift maybe some restrictions, I think it's going to be somewhat gradual. I would think potentially golf courses might be something that gets the green light ahead of other things as far as physical activities go. I can tell you for sure, one of the things that was happening and still is happening with some golf courses that are still open in parts of Canada and certainly in the United States is what they're doing is they're taking the cup on the green and they're actually lifting it out so it's kind of halfway down, as it were. And so when you putt, when your ball hits the cup, it's presumed to be in. Yeah. So nobody's reaching into the same cup to grab their ball or whatever. Your ball hits the cup, kind of bounces away. That's you got your score for the hole. You grab your own ball, so no one's kind of touching the same thing. And there's no flags either. That's the other thing. That'd be the other one where you got any number of people touching a flag, taking it out, putting it back in. They just don't even have flags. It's just the cup comes partially out of the hole. So in terms of contact and you're counting on people when they're out there, you're foursome to maintain the physical distancing that we're all supposed to do. Yeah. But that is how in the world of golf, at least, they look at the possibility that maybe something like that could see the light of day before some other things.
And you also think about great moments in life other than getting a birdie or taking someone's cash. Is there any better feeling than washing your balls at the course? Like when you get into there, you've got that dirty ball, you throw it in there. When you pull it out, you shine it back up, you're good to go. So maybe they'll have those at the start of the hole and the end of the hole. And as far as golf courses themselves, and this is the United States, and I'm curious even in Canada as we get to golf season, the power of some of these private courses, and I know down in the Phoenix area and that, they're just business as usual. I mean, the people and to the parking, to whatever else is going on, most of them are just looking the other way. So we'll see how that's mandated and how that plays out here as we get to it. I hope we get to a better side. I hope it gives people the ability to hop out. You go for your walks there. I've got to think that some of these abilities, as long as there's proper distancing and proper precautions, I think that'll be awfully therapeutic as we get out of this long winter and terrible situation we're in right now.
Absolutely. Warren, the delivery guy, points out likely no golf carts to begin the season. That's a for sure. That's a given. Or nobody's sharing a golf cart,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
Because there's a lot of people that play golf and play. And what, that's the great thing about the sport is you can play to an older age, right? And because the golf cart, gives you the ability to get around the course.
Yeah.
If everybody has their own cart, then again, that's another aspect of being able to keep your distance, as it were. Yeah. All right, let's take a break at 6:50. When we come back, we're going to tee up for a Sens Classic game night tonight. We're going to kick off three nights of run during the Hamburglar run, three games from the Hamburglar run, which was a great time from 5 years ago, believe it or not. And Andrew Hammond is going to join us on the show, the man who wrote himself a little bit into NHL history. A half decade ago. He'll join us on the show just after 9 o'clock as we continue along here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200. Simmer was talking about washing his balls. That had to do with the game of golf.
And I was not taking that to the extreme because I know people kind of look at it. I'm being very sincere. That is that not one of the coolest things that when you're having a good round, and first of all, if you haven't lost a ball, is one of those things you're kind of looking through. This is feeling good, and you're just keeping that thing shined right up, and you're having that magical round. You're feeling good about yourself. Then all of a sudden, you hit one in the water. So that brings back the flashbacks I always think that was something. Some of the best rounds are the fact that you never lost a ball, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you're just, you've got that one. And I think, I don't even remember the brand I used to use. It was like hitting a rock. But anyways, I liked them. But yeah, all the little things, the nuances of golf that when you're enjoying it, and I know you still play a lot, it's just one of those things when you're in that wheelhouse, and if you've ever been in your life where it becomes the addiction level of it, right? Where everything from the night before or a couple of days before is planning your match and what you're going to wear.
Stop making that noise.
No, but it's true. But I'm being sincere. Like when you're into it, when I years ago had a group of guys I played with, and when I lived back in Crofton, Maryland, it was just such an incredible thing. You had a great group, had a great course, you had a routine. It was just, man, it was utopia.
Sorry, I was making yummy sounds there. Sorry, I apologize.
Too many yummy sounds.
But it is, and I hope, you know, if people are being smart about it, and I know you get into issues as far as a parking lot and how close people are, but when you talk about the sheer size of it, and a normal, like at your course on a busy day, are they rolling out the foursomes every 6 minutes?
9 minutes.
9 minutes?
Yeah.
Like, what would you say spacing it out to, 15?
Because
you don't want everybody meeting on a hole either, right? That's one of the things on weekend golf.
Yeah.
When you start to back up and you got three groups on a hole.
Again, if you're counting on, we're talking about a typical golf course would cover, you know, anywhere from, you know, a small into a large, like around 200 acres. So, you know, even if you have a pile, if people can keep their physical distancing as a foursome, you can, there's enough space.
Yeah.
You can keep your physical distancing even if you've got 8 or 12 guys on it. There's lots of room for everybody to, as long as everybody's kind of playing by the same, the same hand, you know.
Yeah. Would it ever be feasible if you wanted to get creative with it? Where again, first of all, we're on to a better spot here in Canada, wherever. If you started everybody similar to a tournament, where you had each group started a hole and you have 18 groups out,
shotgun.
Yeah. Would something like that ever be feasible or sensible to keep some spacing? Or
yeah,
you better off to just have people go off in their times.
Well, you could, but the issue is always going to be right if you get a slow group or
par threes.
Yeah, a guy gets a bad hole, right? And he takes 15 extra minutes to play it, find his ball, or hits it in the water 5 times or whatever. Eventually, right, the slowest group, everybody starts to pile up behind them. So, anybody that's ever played in a golf tournament knows that that's how they do it. Generally, shotgun with, usually actually two foursomes per hole, right, if you've got a sold-out tournament. So, anyway, love to talk about that.
Well, and the stranger, isn't the stranger part, too, and again, part of the whole theory is the ability when you're finished is to slide in and have a cold one. Like how strange is that? Hey, we'll see you later.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll go your separate ways.
We've been advised by text as well that if you were enjoying the cornhole you watched last night, Simmer, that you should check out the ACL, the American Cornhole League.
Oh,
so,
wow.
I don't know if you can find that on YouTube or something like that, but apparently it exists. It's out there for you to get more for your cornhole pleasure.
The American Cornhole League.
Yes, exactly.
Do you guys have a vintage game? Because also, as this conversation came up yesterday on social media, back in the day with the cottage, we had the two go-to games. One was lawn darts, and the other one was a strong game of croquet.
Oh, yeah. Well, oh, yeah. Like, the croquet, especially when the kids are younger, and I've got the ability to absolutely hammer their ball about
into the long grass,
into the ditch, into the water in the ditch that's 400 yards away, and they just can't, because of the physicality of it, just can't do that. And the tears and the flinging of the croquet mallet or whatever, there's nothing that dissolves a game quicker than a good no holes barred game of croquet.
Does everything that's from cornhole to the back and forth exchange, is all of this a variation of I'm drawing a horseshoes?
Yes.
Is this basically, I'll go back to it, and then horseshoes, people realize as a group when you're drinking, becomes too dangerous?
Yes, exactly.
Because being hit by a cornhole, generally cornhole
you're gonna be okay.
Thing, or as we call them, beanbag.
Yeah.
But getting hit by a by a horseshoe is not a lot of fun.
In our family, we have heated games of bocce ball.
Oh, nice.
Which usually it's a cooler going out into the field. And you're usually out there for about 3.5 hours going back and forth in some sort of best of nine and going at her.
Yeah, lawn darts used to be, would be the same as horseshoes back in the day when the lawn darts were actually like darts. And then they changed them, right, where they put that little plastic end on it now.
Yeah, that's weak.
It's not quite the same. It's safer.
You lose the danger factor.
We're all about safety at the end of the day, but I don't know if you can even find those old school lawn darts.
Those
anymore.
Are like somebody throwing a javelin, and you see the scene where it hits the guy out doing the scoring. Like, that thing was so darn sharp when you throw it up in the air. Hey, you'd be sharpening those like a set of knives as you went out to play.
Wow. I don't know how, but we killed a whole half hour with cornwall and ball washing. There you go. Such is the times we live in right now. Sure, we'll take a break. When we come back, I promise, we'll get to the Hamburglar story. The news of the day, such as it is, Pierre McGuire is going to join us. And speaking of the Hamburglar, I'm looking forward to a conversation. Catching up with Andrew Hammond, who will join us after 9 o'clock this morning. Hope you're having a great start to your Thursday morning. You are listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.